Acts chapter 15, verse 6 and 7. It says, "And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. When there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe." Let me emphasize that last phrase again. "That the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe." Heavenly Father, bless the reading of thy word to our hearts. And as we now present it, summarize it, at the close of this meeting, apply it with challenge to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Acts chapter 15 records the council at Jerusalem when the elders and apostles came together to consider or to settle a controversy in the New Testament church. That controversy was whether Gentile believers had to be circumcised in order to be saved. And they discussed the matter. Scripture was quoted. And then a settlement was made. As you read down the chapter, verse 19, James said, "My conclusion," or my sentence rather, "is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned unto God." And as that council was taking place, we have read together the words of Simon Peter. He rose up among the apostles and the elders, and at the commencement of that council, he spoke these words: "Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe." And he's speaking of his experience when the Lord called him to take the gospel to the house of Cornelius. It's referred to in chapter 10 of the book of Acts, and you can take time to read it. But verse 7, Peter's words reveal to us God's intention for the nations, the Gentile nations of this world. And with our missionary theme this morning, this verse was laid upon my heart on Thursday morning. And I just want to summarize it as we close the meeting this morning. There are three thoughts that I want you to see, I want you to grasp, I want the Lord to lay upon your heart. I want you firstly to see God's purpose. God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel. Just take that word Gentiles and then take the phrase "should hear the word of the gospel." It was never God's intention that the truth of salvation should be confined to the nation of Israel alone. It was never God's intention that the message of the cross should be confined within the borders of one country. No, even back in Old Testament times, the Lord himself had prophesied that the gospel message of salvation was to go to the entire world. When he gave the covenant promise to Abraham that from his seed a deliverer and a savior would come, he said in Genesis 12 and verse 3, "In thee shall all nations be blessed." All the nations of the earth would be blessed through the seed of Abraham and through the gospel message that would come through the Savior that would be born of his line. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8, Paul preaching the gospel, he picked up on these very words and this promise that the Lord had given to Abraham. And he said, Verse 7 and 8 of Galatians 3, ye know that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture foreseeing, the Scriptures knew and foresaw that God would justify the heathen. The word heathen there is the word Gentile. The Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. When the Lord spoke those words to Abraham, Paul says it was a gospel sermon. That from your seed, Christ coming into the world by the line of Abraham, he would bring blessings to all nations. In Psalm 98 and verse 2, the Lord hath made known his salvation, his righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen, prophesying the day when the Lord would declare and make known his salvation, the righteousness of the gospel, showing it openly in the sight of the Gentiles. And therefore, prior to the New Testament era, God revealed in the Scriptures his sovereign choice and will that the gospel be proclaimed to the Gentile nations. And that's why in the fullness of time, he gave the commission to the disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's why before he died, he gave this counsel in Matthew 24 and 14, that before he would return the second time, the gospel of the kingdom would be preached in all nations. And that's why to John in Revelation 7, he gave the comfort of that vision of heaven, that in heaven, the population of heaven is made up of those from every tribe and every tongue and every nation. It is God's will. It is God's choice. It is God's commission that the nations of this world, every tribe and tongue, would hear the message of Christ crucified, the only Savior of sinners. In Acts chapter 15, I want you to notice the second thing. You see, that really leads us to ask the question, as a church and individually, what are we doing about that great commission? What are we doing about the Lord's revealed will to his church that every nation should hear the gospel? Well, in our text, you'll see not only God's purpose for the world, but God's program for the world. Let me pick up another little phrase in verse 7. That the Gentiles, Peter says, by my mouth, just note that, by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel. As God pursues his purpose among the Gentile nations, he does so by using men that he has already saved and called out of the world to proclaim and make known the gospel. Our sister at the end of our little report quoted Romans chapter 10. I have it before me in my own notes to remind you of how God works. Paul asks the question, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Then verse 17 tells us, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God does not work in a vacuum. Men don't just suddenly have a light switched on in their brain that they understand there's a God in heaven. We're born in sin and rebellious to him, but Jesus' son died on the cross to provide salvation, forgiveness, eternal life, and an eternity with God in heaven. Men and women, it doesn't just happen, as it were, in that vacuum. God uses men to bring the gospel to them, and the gospel must first be proclaimed before men will believe and be saved. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they preach except they be sent? God makes the gospel known by men whom he has already saved, proclaiming the gospel to those who are still in darkness. And there's a sense that leads us to the challenge. There's a sense in which you can play your role in spreading the gospel to those who have not heard it. I'm not going to take time to look up the references. I mentioned two of them in passing, but in some sense, every Christian can do this work. You can be a preacher for the Lord. You can be a personal evangelist. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, we read that those that were scattered abroad on the persecution of Stephen, they went as far as Samaria. They went everywhere preaching the word. And it simply means talking or speaking one-to-one about the word and about Christ. And so there's a sense that you can, by your mouth, you can make known the gospel to others. But when Peter is speaking about by his mouth that the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel, he is reminding the council in Jerusalem and reminding us that God calls men to be preachers and ministers of the word. It was God's choice. He could have chosen John. He could have chosen James. He could have chosen some of the other disciples. But he chose Peter. And he took Peter specifically to the house of Cornelius to make the gospel known there. And if we're speaking about the office of the minister, we're talking about men. But if we're speaking about the work of missionaries, we can include the women. God still makes sovereign choice where he chooses a man and he brings him to a place and he puts him in that place to make known the gospel to a certain people. He takes a woman and he brings her to a certain field of missionary service. And by that woman, through her work, he makes known the gospel in that place. What is our task as a church of Jesus Christ? You'll find it in Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 to 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest field. We're to pray that God would choose the men and the women for missionary service, and he will place them in the particular part of the field he would have them to be. And we heard the challenge on the DVD. There's an open door in Liberia. There's help needed. But it has to be God's men or God's women called by the Lord, brought to that place to serve the Lord. The first port of call that we can stop at to serve and help in this work is to pray that the Lord will send forth laborers. And we can also support by our practical giving to keep men and women in those particular places that God has called them to labor and serve him in and preach the gospel and further the work of the Lord. God's program, he would have the word be made known by the preaching of the word. And he puts his hand upon men and calls them to do it. And he raises up missionaries to go and proclaim the gospel message of Christ. There's one final thought. And as I said, I'm just trying to summarize this text this morning. You'll see not only God's purpose, every nation should hear the gospel. You see God's program. It's to be by the preaching of the word, the proclamation, the making known of the gospel of Christ. But you'll notice in closing, God's power. That the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Why don't you take time this afternoon to read Acts chapter 10? There you will read of what happened in the house of Cornelius. That's what this little phrase refers to. And how Peter was praying on the rooftop and God gave him a vision and he removed his prejudices against the Gentiles. When God's going to do a work, He puts His hand upon a man's life and He takes away all the excuses in that man's life for serving the Lord in that area. And then He sent men to seek Peter, and He brought Peter into the house of Cornelius, and He began to preach the word. And there's a wee phrase in chapter 10 verse 44, and it's all so important. As Peter preached the word, the Holy Ghost fell. And that's where the power of God is. And that's what led. Peter didn't have time to conclude his sermon. As he preached, the Holy Ghost fell. And the men sought the Lord. And they were saved. And the Gentiles began to be added into the church of Christ. And I tell you, we can evangelize, we can do all that we can, humanly speaking, but I tell you, until the Holy Ghost falls, that's when the power of God will be manifested. That's when people will believe. And until the Holy Ghost comes upon souls through the preaching of the Word of God, I tell you, we will accomplish nothing in our own efforts and in our own labors. What was Peter doing in Acts 10 before the Lord called him to the house of Cornelius? What was he doing before the power of the Lord was displayed and manifested and these Gentiles believed? He was on his rooftop praying. And I tell you, if we want to see the power of God displayed in this generation, at home and on the mission field, we should be waiting on in the place of prayer. It's the only answer. It's our only hope that we will pray until the Spirit of the Lord moves and many believe and are added in. May the Lord bless our sister in her deputation work as she returns to Liberia in the new year. May the Lord strengthen their cause, give them souls for their hire. May the Gentiles of Liberia believe and be added into the church. And in the will of the Lord, may He call other laborers to give their lives for that gospel cause. And may that Christian school be opened in the will of the Lord in time to come.